Hey, John, give me that microphone. Miss Christina wants to come up and tell everybody thank you for, you know, she has three boys, but now she's having a girl.
I actually have a mini sermon I wanted to share. I'm just kidding.
Oh, go ahead.
No, thank you. I just wanted to say thank you for not only just, you know, blessing this baby that we're having now, but all of the other ones that we have had. Y'all have always been so kind to us and have always poured out your blessings on us. Whether you made it and you blessed us that way, or whether you handed us stuff in passing or whatever, I just really appreciate it from me and Caleb, who's probably coming back this way. But we love you. We're always so appreciative of all y'all do in general. I mean, for our family, around Christmas time and everything, it doesn't go in. Oh, whoa. Don't get emotional. It doesn't go unnoticed, and we really appreciate y'all, so thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, baby. Amen. Of course, Christina and Caleb are youth pastors, and they do an outstanding job. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. And the shower was at my house, so I asked Margaret, I said, did any of the ladies want to go downstairs and see the Harley or the boat? And she goes, not one of them. And I thought, well, what's the deal? I asked Lynn this morning, she goes, well, where was it? I said, well, we have a basement, you know. And nobody, the ladies didn't care. Anyway, praise God, hallelujah. Listen, so here's some exciting news. You know, Dean and Sherry Jones Ministries have a meeting here at Cleveland Christian Fellowship. They've been doing that for a long time now. And they have, for the last, you know, 3 or 4 years, they have always met on Mondays at 5:30, but they have changed their time. Sherry Jones Ministries and Dean, their meeting is now on Monday at 10:30. 10:30, amen. And listen, they have a dynamic meeting. They just worship the Lord. They flow with the Spirit. They pray. Sherry teaches the Word of God. And I say this I say this joyfully and gladly. You can travel all over the world and you'll not hear a better Bible teacher than Sherry Jones. I've said that for years and I mean that with all my heart. So really, 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 it's every Monday, 10:30. And they meet from 10:30 till about 12, something like that. And it's right here in this auditorium. And you'd be blessed to come out. I mean, anytime you get a chance to hear the Word of God, instead of just a bunch of religious nonsense, you ought to take advantage of it. Can you say amen?
Amen,
amen, amen. Amen. Praise God. And then I am looking forward to the no pajamas men's meeting tomorrow afternoon at 5:30. Okay, McGuays. I might wear pajamas anyway.
He will not. He will not.
Well, you want to, how much money? Is there any money involved here? Not enough. Not enough. No. Well, if it had more than 4 zeros on it, I might. Here's a story about a man that bought a donkey. How many of you want to hear a story about a man that bought a donkey?
Yeah.
You might as well, because I'm going to give it to you anyway. A man bought a donkey from an old farmer for $100. The farmer agreed to deliver the donkey to the following day. The next day, the farmer drove up and said, sorry, but I got some bad news for you. The donkey died. The man said, well, just give me my money back. The farmer said, can't do it. Already spent it. And so the guy said, well, just unload the donkey. He said, what are you going to do with a dead donkey? He said, I'm going to raffle him off. He said, you can't raffle off a dead donkey. He said, sure I can. Just watch me. I just won't tell anybody he's dead. Well, about a month later, the farmer saw the man and asked, he said, well, whatever happened to that dead donkey? He said, I raffled him off at $2 a ticket, sold 500 tickets, and I made $900. And the guy said, didn't anybody complain? He said, just the guy that won. He said, what'd you do about that? He said, I gave him his $2 back. So, I don't know. Ponzi scheme in the making or something here. I'm not. Well, are you ready for the Word of God? Amen, amen, amen. Eventually, we're going to be in Joshua chapter 1. Give me a few minutes before we get there, but eventually we'll be there, Joshua 1, 1 and 2. You know, I've always really, really enjoyed all these years discovering spiritual laws or spiritual principles found in the Word of God, because spiritual laws govern God's kingdom and they absolutely work in our lives. They cause us to succeed. They cause us to overcome. They cause us to be productive and achieve. Amen. And You know, in the natural, what goes up must come down. You know why we say that? Because that's based on the law of gravity. You know why it's a law? It's not just a probability. It's a law because it always works. It works 100 out of 100 times. It works 1 million out of 1 million times. It works 1 billion out of 1 billion times. It will always work. If you throw a ball up into the air, it will always come down. Now, you can interfere with it. You can put some other laws, the law of lift and the law of thrust and so forth, and make it into an airplane. But if you don't, just in and of itself, if you don't interfere with it, it's called a law because it always, always works. It never fails. Well, likewise, there are spiritual laws in the kingdom of God that always work. They never fail. You know, in other words, God will say, if you do this, then this will happen. And it's not a matter of works. It's not a matter of legalism. God's just saying that's the way it is. And so he wants us. He reveals these spiritual laws to us so that we can make them work for our benefit and for the blessing of the kingdom of God. And so the Bible is full of these spiritual laws that will work for us and calls us, number one, this is most important to me, to be productive and fruitful in his kingdom. Can you say amen? And then number two, operating in these spiritual laws will cause us to be a blessing to other people. And number three, they'll cause us to be personally blessed. Amen. And so if you honor the word, not everybody does, but if you honor the word and recognize that what it says is the truth, and it is the truth, whether we acknowledge it's the truth or not, but it is the truth. Always like what I think it was Miss C. Newsom. It might have been somebody else, but I think it was Miss C. Newsom. She said this. She said, listen, the word of God is the truth, whether you believe it or not, but your believing it causes you to experience the benefits of it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. Well, God said it, and that's the truth, whether you believe it or not. But when we believe it, then we experience all that it promises us. Glory to God. I said, glory to God. And so if we honor the word, and if we love the word, and we recognize it as the truth, and if we'll discover these laws and believe them, and most importantly, act on them, then they will work for us. And so here's a principle, and I wish I had a little catchy title for this. I don't. You know, we have the... This actually incorporates several laws, the law of faith, the law of giving, the law of sowing and reaping, the law of faithfulness, the law of servanthood, and on and on and on. But, it's just that small steps and first steps done in faith lead to big things. I'm going to say that again. Small steps, first steps done in faith lead to big things. When we step out and do something, even though it may seem little, it may seem insignificant, it opens the door for God to move in and do great things for us. And so much of the time, people just sit there doing nothing. You know what zero times $1 million is? Zero. And if you do nothing, then nothing's going to happen. You know, there's an old Chinese proverb, as I understand this is a Chinese proverb. We know the proverb, but it comes from China, they say, that the journey of 1,000 miles starts with the first step. Now, the journey of 1,000 miles, think about, if this is, this thing's been around for hundreds of years, so there's no cars, there's no trains, there's no planes, there's no buses. And so if you got to walk 1,000 miles, if you got to get somewhere that's 1,000 miles away, then that's quite a journey, isn't it? Well, and that's going to take you, maybe 2 months to get there, maybe longer. Amen. But it all starts with taking that first step. And a lot of people just look at that first step and they say, well, what's that? What, 2 or 3 steps, what's that in the light of 1,000 miles? But spiritually speaking, when we take that first step, God will move in and God will get involved. And all of a sudden, instead of it taking 2 months, you'll get there in 2 days. Or maybe just a few days or whatever. Because things begin to happen. The miraculous begins to happen. Supernatural provision comes. Supernatural direction comes. God shows you shortcuts, whatever. God empowers you. God enables you. Glory to God. Are you listening to me? Amen. You know, it's like that other old saying, how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. But if you just don't sit there doing anything, if you don't take that first bite, you'll never get the job done. But spiritually, we're talking spiritually, go ahead and do something in faith. Move out, step out in faith, and you'll be shocked at what God will do for you. I was reminded as I was thinking about this just yesterday that, in 1978, I went to Rainbow Bible Training Center, graduated in 1979. So we graduated in May, I think, and And you know, Margaret and I knew by the direction of the Spirit of God that we were to go back to our hometown of Tifton, Georgia, which was 1,000 miles away from Broken Arrow or Tulsa, Oklahoma. And I had enough money, I think, to get out of the city limits. Maybe enough to get out of the state of Oklahoma. I'm not sure about that. But maybe enough money to get out of the state of Oklahoma and get somewhere into Arkansas and then not have a dime. Not have any food, not have any money, not have any place to go. Just me and Margaret and our two babies. And so, you know, but we're about to graduate. And we, you know, we believe God has miraculously provided for us and taken care of for us. I'm going to Bible school. I also have a job, but some of you know that my test, it wasn't a career job. God said, don't get a career job, just get a job. And believe me, and I did. And you know, but the Lord led me. Now, you could do this on your own, but the Lord specifically led me to sow a $10 seed for that need I had to move back to Tifton, Georgia. Well, that move, you know, took at the least, and this is just barely scraping by. This is driving in the middle of the night, so you don't have to take a motel. This is just renting a bare bones house and so forth. That move took it because you got to have deposits and all that kind of stuff. That move took at least $1,000 in those days. So $10 doesn't seem like very much compared to $1,000, does it? And if you need $1,000, why would you give 10 away? Plus, we, without exaggeration and without fail, we desperately needed that $10. Amen. I mean, I went grocery shopping one time with 50 cents. Even back in 1979, you can't buy much for 50 cents. And $10, that would have been really big. But we sowed that $10, and you know, any more than I can tell you how water turned into wine, can I tell you how that $1,000 came in? But we had the $1,000 we needed to move back to Tifton, Georgia. Got there and had a house, and utilities have been turned on and so forth. So glory to God. Amen. So let me kind of lay this out for you. Deuteronomy 28:8 tells us that if we love God, if we follow God, you know, if we're living for God, that He will bless what we set our hand to do. Amen. So God blesses. What does that mean? That means He prospers. He causes to succeed. He gets involved with. He provides supernatural provision and help and power for whatever we set our hands to do. Other translations say God blesses what we undertake. If you look up the word undertake, it means you got to do something. To undertake something means to engage in activity or to take action. So if we don't do anything, if we don't set our hand to do anything, then there's nothing for God to bless. He blesses what we set our hand to. The Bible says the steps of a righteous man are ordered or directed or established by the Lord. As we take steps, He directs us and orders our steps and establishes our steps. But if we don't take any steps, there's nothing for Him to order. There's nothing for Him to establish. People just sit there waiting on God, and God saying, take a step of faith. Brother Hagin always said this, you know, he always said, to every miracle, to every answered prayer, to every victory, to every battle that you face, to every blessing of God that you need to receive, there is a Godward side and a manward side. In other words, we have a part to play. And if we will do our part, God will always do His part. Jerry Savelle simply said this. He said, to do nothing is to experience nothing. And so I like this. This is actually from Jerry Savelle's daughter, you know, Terry. And she said this. Let me read this to you. Allow me. She says, Abraham Lincoln said, things may come to those who wait, but only the things left by those who hustle. One success coach said that in conducting seminars around the world, the one thing that seems to separate winners from losers more than anything else is that winners take action. They simply get up. Let me give you another word for get up. They arise and do what has to be done. We can't just sit back and do nothing and expect God to make it happen. It demands effort on our part. So we begin doing all we know to do in the natural, and God adds His super to our natural. Glory to God. When things look like they will never happen, when things look like they will never happen and your mind is telling you they will never happen, then you have to ask yourself, am I doing everything? Have I done all? Have you done all as a spouse? Have you done all to get out of debt? Have you done all to get your house in order? Have you done your homework before you step out? And what you need to do is you need to step out in faith, glory to God, and enroll in that class. Meet with the bank. Get the resume typed. Start tithing. Make the appointment. Write the book. Clean the house. Meet with the realtor. Save the money. Join the gym. Volunteer at the shelter. Go on an interview. Sow a significant seed. Nothing happens until you take action. Peter Daniels, and of course he's a financial extraordinaire teacher and motivational speaker and extremely wealthy man, says, so many people say, I'm just waiting on God. He said, God is not behind you. He's ahead of you. He's waiting on you. When you start taking steps, your dreams, but towards your dreams, direction becomes more and more clear to you. Things start happening. Things start moving. Momentum is picking up. Opportunities are seen. Relationships are formed. And new ideas are birthed. Praise God. Can you say amen? Amen. Glory to God. So when God leads you to do something, or when you just have a godly desire, you know, it's a godly desire to want to provide for your family better, to have a better job, to have a better car, to have a better home or whatever. So when God leads you to do something, or if you have a godly desire to go on a mission trip, and or go to college, or start a business, or go to Bible school, get a better job, buy a better home or a first home, or when you see that God through Jesus has provided you something through his death, burial, and resurrection on the cross, or you have a godly goal or dream of some kind, you know, sometimes it may seem like a pipe dream. God says you're healed, but you've been in this you've had this chronic condition for 20 years. You know, God says he supplies all your needs according to his riches and glory, but you're behind. How could you possibly ever have a better life? These things seem like a pipe dream that are near impossible. The doctor says, the banker says, I don't have the ability, I don't have the power to, you know, and there's obstacles in the way and all kind of challenges for me to realize my dream or to achieve this. But if you will step out in faith and obedience and do something that initially seems small and something that initially may seem insignificant, but if you will do it, then God will make a way for you where there is no way. God will keep his promises. He'll provide what you need. He'll get involved with you to help you and give you direction and power and favor and ability and strength, whatever you need. He will remove the obstacles. Glory to God, and he'll make the impossible possible. And while you're doing this, understand, all of a sudden some things may pop up unexpectedly and tell you that it's not going to happen. But just keep stepping out in faith. Just keep moving forward in faith. Glory to God, and understand this, things won't necessarily happen overnight, so you'll have to stay in faith, but God will not fail you. Amen. Now keep listening, because I know you understand faith principles, but there's a part of this I really want you to see. It all starts with you taking a step of faith and doing something and acting in faith because you believe God's word regardless of what your circumstances tell you. You know, Sheila sent me this text. There's Sheila right there, my daughter. She sent me this text yesterday. Of course, yesterday was February the 3rd. And the text said, Happy Christ is the big C day. Today is when you publicly proclaimed your healing, not sickness. It will always stand as a memorial of the goodness of God and your faith in him. Well, February the 3rd, I knew approximately, but I didn't know the exact date. She's got a memory like an elephant. February 3rd, 2013, right here from this pulpit, 11 years ago yesterday, I got up and told the church that some people knew and some people heard rumors, but I got up and told the church that I'd been diagnosed with stage 3 non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. Non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, stage 3. And I told people that what had happened and how I'd woke up with a tumor and another tumor, and then they found another tumor and what the doctors had said to me and so forth. And the reason she said happy Christ is the big C today is because in that message was titled, I Believe God! Exclamation point. I believe God. And in that message I said, Christ is the big C, not cancer. Amen. I said, Christ is the big C, not cancer. And basically in that message I in essence said, you know, I in essence said, I proclaimed, I confessed, I decreed that I was healed despite my diagnosis of cancer. According to the Word of God, even, you know, like Paul used that scripture, you know, Paul was in that shipwreck And the storm was still raging. I said, the storm's still raging around me. But Paul stood up because he had the word of God. It came through an angel. That's not the important part. The important part is the angel delivered to him the word of Almighty God. And the angel said, you're all going to make it. None of you are going to die. And Paul said, I believe God that it will be just as it was told me. So I decreed, I believe God, according to the word of God, regardless of the storm raging around me, because I wasn't getting anything but bad reports, I am healed. Amen. Now listen. I want you to get this. To some people, now you know better, but to some people, just saying, I believe I'm healed, seems like nothing compared to cancer. But we know better, don't we? And listen, saying what the Word of God says about you and your situation because you believe it is taking action. It is doing something. Confession is acting on what you believe. It is being a doer of the Word, and it releases faith. I don't think people understand that. Confession is so important. But one of the main reasons, or maybe the main reason confession is important, is because confession is an action. And faith without corresponding actions is dead. Faith must be released. And one of the primary ways we release our faith is through the words that we speak. Amen. And when we speak the word of God, because we truly believe it in our heart, that opens the door for God to move in and bless what you in faith are saying and acting on. I like the way Brother Hagin said it, in his little book, In Him. He says, when you find out what the Word of God says, then you ought to begin to say with your mouth, whatever the Word of God says about you, then you ought to say, that's who I am. When it says you have something, you ought to say, that's what I have. You believe you have it. You ought to say that. When it tells you you can do something, you ought to say, I can do that. Amen. He said, you see, faith's confessions create realities. As far as God is concerned, everything you have or are in Christ is already so. He has done it. Everything the Bible says is ours, it's ours legally. The Bible is a legal document sealed by the blood of Jesus. However, it's your believing it and you're confessing However, it's your believing it and you're confessing it, which makes it a reality to you, in other words, in everyday life. God wants us to enjoy and know the reality of what He has provided for us, and the Word tells us how to do it. Now listen carefully. As you read some of these things in the Scriptures, it may not seem as though you really have what the Scriptures say you have. But if you will begin to confess with your mouth because you do believe what God's Word says in your heart, that's mine, that's who I am, what I have, then it will become a reality to you. It's already real in the spirit realm, but you see, we want it to become real in the physical realm where we live in the flesh. And you do that by believing the word and confessing that it's so. Now look at Joshua chapter 1. If you hadn't found Joshua chapter 1 now, just look on with your neighbor. Joshua chapter 1, verse number 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over the Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving you, to the children of Israel. Amen. Praise God. The Israelites had honored Moses, properly. They're their great leader for over 30 days, it tells us. And now, I like what God tells Joshua. He says, Joshua, arise. Arise to do what? To go take the promised land. That's what this is all about. For 40 years they wandered in the wilderness. Why? Because they did not take the promised land. And so now this new generation has come up and they're right at the border and it's time to take the promised land that God told them over 100 times, I am given to you. But right off the bat, they have to cross the Jordan River. The Jordan River is in flood stage. There's no way to get across in the natural. As soon as they get across the Jordan River, they face the city of Jericho with its great impenetrable walls. And then they face all those seven nations with their great armies that they need to dispossess off the land. And so when he tells him, arise, you understand what he's saying? He's not just saying, get up from, wake up this morning. He's saying, get up and do something. Go do what I called you to do. And so I like that word arise. Amen. God is saying, get up, move, do something, step out in faith. Hallelujah. Now it's interesting, you can read this in Deuteronomy 4:38, you can read it in Deuteronomy 7:1. But God himself had said, the people you need to defeat, they are greater than you and they are mightier than you. God himself gave that testimony. Their army is better than your army. They're greater than you. They're mightier than you. Amen. Are you listening to me? Praise God. And then in Deuteronomy 21, it says this, when you go out to battle against your enemies and see horses and chariots and people more numerous than you, do not be afraid of them, for the Lord your God is with you who brought you up from the land of Egypt. Amen. So he says, listen, they're greater than you, they're mightier than you, their army is better, and there's a lot more of them than there are you. It's like I call you up here and I say, okay, we're going to battle. This is life or death. It's going to be me and John. But John, here's the deal. We're going to face people that are bigger than us. They're stronger than us. They're better fighter than us. It's impossible to defeat them in the natural. Not only that, they got 10 and we got 2. You see. But God said, do not fear. Why? Because when God's on your side, then it doesn't matter how big they are. Are you kidding me? Glory to God. But I just want you to see that. So, in other words, they could not defeat them in the natural. But thank God when God's on your side, when God's with you and in what you're doing, no enemy, no obstacle, no devil can stop us or defeat us or keep us from obtaining the promises. Can you say amen? That's why I said cancer's not the big C, Christ is. Glory to God. But we have to arise. We have to obey God. We have to step out in faith. Very simply, we have to do something, not just sit there. And when we do something, according to God's plan, he gets involved and the impossible or the unlikely, the difficult, the improbable, all becomes possible in Christ. So look at this. Look at this. In Joshua chapter 3, amen, verse number 14, again, the first impossible looking thing they faced was the Jordan River. God said to cross over it, but it looked impossible to do. But Joshua had all the people break camp and march toward the river. We're going over the river. Everybody get all your belongings. Everything, get everybody together. And let's march toward the river. That's what he told them to do. He's doing something. They stepped out in faith. And so Joshua 3:14 says, so it was when the people set out from their camp to cross over the Jordan, when the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people, as those who had bore the Ark came to Jordan, and the feet of the priest who bore the Ark dipped into the edges of the water, for the Jordan overflows all its banks during this whole time of harvest, but as their feet touched the water, that the waters which came from upstream stood still, and the people crossed over on dry ground. Glory to God. Do something. Move. Get up. Take a step of faith and watch what God will do. So I love this story. I mean, they marched toward the water and they're getting toward the water. I mean, there had to be, at least somebody kind of wondering what the heck was going to happen. And, you know, and it wasn't until the priest put his feet into the water that things happened. I've been there 1,001 times where nothing happened until I put my feet in the water. But you will not fail if you will take a step of faith, even though the obstacle looks great. Listen, what if Joshua had said, ooh, people, God told me to arise. And they all shouted about that, and they sang songs about victory, and they sang songs about God will never fail you, like we did this morning. They sang songs about God will always see you through and so forth, but they just sit there and did nothing. What would have happened? Arise, cross the Jordan, take Jericho, defeat those 7 nations. But if they would have sat there doing nothing, then nothing would have happened. God, all things equal, according to his will, God blesses what we set our hand to do. Amen. And so when the people in faith did something, then God did something. Glory to God. Same thing happened when they faced the walls of Jericho. Amen. Same thing happened when David faced Goliath. Same thing happened when Peter cast his net on the other side of the boat at the word of Jesus. Glory to God. God multiplied and increased their efforts, even though It seemed foolish and it seemed useless to do that. There was no reason to do it. Listen, I'm a fisherman. I also fish at night. Those guys fish at night. If we've been fishing all night and we ain't caught nothing, believe me, we've tried both sides of the boat. We've tried both sides, the back end, the front side, the deep water, the shallow water, the back of the slough, the front of the slough, the south end, the north end, the west end, the east end. But they took a step of faith. Hallelujah. And then God multiplied their efforts. And you could just look at example after example after example after example after example throughout the Word of God and hear testimonies of people's lives that back up this principle. But the principle to having God intervene and do something for people is to arise in faith and do something. Don't just wait for Goliath to have a heart attack. That's what most people are doing. They're just waiting for Goliath to have a heart attack. They're waiting for somebody to build a bridge over the Jordan River. They're waiting for the enemy just to surrender. Those seven nations weren't going to ever surrender. They had to be defeated. Glory to God. Goliath, you know what the Bible says about David? I love it. It's a beautiful picture. 1 Samuel 17:48 says David ran out to meet the Philistine. He just didn't sit there waiting for... No, he ran toward him. Paul and Silas sang praises to God while they were still in prison. Peter cast out his net when it seemed hopeless. Abraham called. He confessed. He called himself the father of many nations when it was impossible for him even to have one child. But he called himself the father of many nations. Have you ever wondered? But the Spirit of God will do this through men and women of God. Men and women of God will do it themselves, you know, prompted by the Spirit. And sometimes just to try to have you ever noticed why so many ministers and the Spirit of God will try to get people to jump or shout or run or dance or begin to praise and rejoice or have a Jericho? They're trying to get people to exercise faith, to do something, to get the process starting so God can move in and make it happen. But again, we understand faith principles, but again, it's just, from the very beginning, we're just kind of like, well, there's nothing for me to do. I need a new car. Well, start looking at them.
That's right.
Glory to God. I need a new house. There's two beautiful realtors right there. Go talk to them.
That's right.
They're the best in town. Go talk to them. I don't know how many people that I've counseled, they came back and said, you know, I thought it was impossible, but it's 2 weeks later, and I'm getting a house. They took a step of faith, and God got involved. There's things that they know that you don't know. Your house might be worth $100,000 more than you thought it was worth. I mean, that's just natural things, but God will get involved. Amen. Joshua, marched toward the river in flood stage. Glory to God. But their initial, everybody say initial. Their initial actions of faith gave God something to work with, glory to God, and so that he could do something for them that they could not do for themselves. What does that look like? I've already mentioned it, but what does that look like realistically, pragmatically, in everyday life? Glory to God, how do you arise, in other words? Well, I always like what Lester Sumrall said. Lester Sumrall was tremendously used of God. How many of you know who Lester Sumrall is? He's good. But Lester Sumrall said, I heard him say this right over at New Life, you know. He said, the first step to success is to get out of bed in the morning. I thought, well, there's some truth in that, isn't there? The first step to success is to get out of bed in the morning. So how do you arise? Well, get out of bed in the morning. You rejoice right in the middle of some problem. That's the way to arise. You don't wait for things to change. You just start rejoicing right now. You sow a seed, even though you have serious needs. You go meet with a realtor. Like I was talking about, you pay somebody else's. They say, "Well, I need a nice car, and I mean, I might have $100 extra, and you know, the car I want costs, you know, to adequately meet my needs might cost $30,000, or really, I'd like one that costs $45,000. Well, take that $100, go pay somebody else's car payment. Say, "Well, I don't even have enough money to pay their payment." Well, say, "Do you have a car payment? Here's $100 on it. Do something, move, arise, and watch what God will do." Glory to God. Take a class, you know, get training for the job you mean. Glory to God. Go visit the college you want to go to. Get their material. Brother Copeland said one time, he said, we were believing God for this new airplane. He said, I had enough money to buy all the books that went with the airplane that you were going to have to buy when you bought it. So he said, I bought the books that went with the airplane. You know what Oral Roberts was famous for? And building Oral Roberts University, which was no small feat, you know, took millions and millions. He'd dig a hole. What do you mean dig a hole? In other words, he'd get the foundation ready for the building. He didn't have the hundreds of thousands or the millions that he needed to build that building, but he would take the money that he had and he'd say, go ahead and start construction. You've got to do this. Go ahead and do that. And as he took that step of faith, then the money would come in. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Quit complaining. That's a step of faith for some people. Instead of complaining, rejoice. Cast your cares over the Lord. And always, always confess that you have what God says you have. Glory to God. Get your car ready to sell. Clean up that old junker. It's a mess, you know. Get all them old. Clean it up. Fix it up a little bit. Get it ready for a trade-in. Go ahead and get your passport. Can't go overseas unless you have a passport. So go ahead. Well, why should I take that? Take a step of faith. Make an appointment. Glory to God. Arise. Get up. Move. Step out in faith. Glory to God. Some people's initial step may be to repent. Say, God, I made a mess of this. I made a mess of things. Well, take that first step. But find ways to act like God's word is true in your life. Find ways to act on the godly desires He's placed in you. Find ways to act on what He told you to do. And then step out in faith and glory to God. And when you do, God will move in. He will help you. He will multiply your efforts. He will open doors for you. He will supply your need. And He'll use His power to drive away any kind of oppression, any kind of demonic oppression, any kind of sickness, any kind of disease, or anything else in order for you to experience the benefits of His words. He will bless what you do, glory to God, in order for you to succeed and receive His promises and overcome in life. Now quickly, when I say quickly, I mean I can do this in 2 minutes. Every situation is different, but no matter what situation you find yourself in, you can always do these three things in faith. Number one, you can cast your care over on the Lord. Actually, what the Word of God teaches is don't worry and cast your care. In other words, you say, I'm never going to worry about this again. I'm going to put it in the hands of God. That's a step of faith. I absolutely refuse to worry. I was watching this movie. It's an older movie. I think we might have seen it before, but we didn't remember it. So we watched the movie Bridge of Spies. And in that movie, you know, Tom Hanks is in it. And so a man gets arrested in our country. He's one of the most famous spies that we ever caught in America. And this was in a time when, you know, he was a high-ranking spy. He was a famous spy. And you know, it's like, hey, we're going to give you a quick, fair trial and find you guilty in 10 minutes, and we're going to take you out back and shoot you, boy. You know, he's a Russian spy. And so Tom Hanks is trying to, this man is very unassuming, and he's very quiet, and he's very shy. And Tom Hanks is talking to him, you know, as his attorney, and trying to get him to understand how serious his situation is and how much trouble he's in. And finally he goes, aren't you worried about this? And the little guy says, would it help? Well, worry doesn't help anything, does it? So, but you can always cast your cares over them. Number two, you can always speak right words. You can always confess. You can always say, you can always decree that you have the victory, that your dream is coming to pass. And don't ever say words that contradict what you want to happen. I said, don't ever say words that contradict what you want to happen. Don't talk failure. Don't talk defeat. Don't talk negative. Don't talk lack. And don't talk words that deny God's power and ability to put you over. Glory to God. I said, glory to God. Amen. 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 Oh, and then number three, you can give thanks and praise to God that you have the victory. Glory to God. You can just, see, that's a step of faith. Oh, glory to God. Father, I thank you that we're crossing over the Jordan River. Your mind's screaming at you. Boy, you're dumb. You're a fool. You ain't getting across that river. You can't even swim. You don't have no barge. You don't have no, thank you, Father, that we crossed the Jordan River. Glory to God. Praise you. Hallelujah. I thank you that I'm healed. The doctor told you, you have stage 3. Thank you that I'm healed right now. I'm healed. I'm not trying to get healed. I am healed. And I praise you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise you for my new job. Praise you that I'm healed. Praise you for meeting my every need. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I just thank you that I'm going on that mission trip. Can you say amen? You can always do those three things. Amen? Let's stand together. Praise you, Lord. That's enough. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I can't tell you the number of times it looked impossible for me to achieve something or have something, but we just took a little step of faith, just an itty-bitty step of faith, and then things happened. And then things happened. But you can just sit there and do nothing, and if you do nothing, nothing's going to happen. Glory to God. Everybody say, I'm going to arise. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Brother Hagin told a little old man one time that had been severely burned from here all the way down. All the way down. He told the little man, he said, can you run? And the man said, my God, can I run? He said, you saw me come up here. He said, I can't even hardly walk. He said, the Lord told me to tell you to run. Now, you know what a lot of people would have done? They'd have made a little half-hearted effort, or they'd have just stood there and looked at him and did nothing. And this old man turned around immediately and started scooting down the aisle just the best he could. Went down this row, came up here, came back to the front. Brother Hagin said, take off again. He went down, came down the third time. He said, take off again. But the third time, Brother Hagin went with him. And when they got to the front, the man was running and walking normal. Hallelujah. Actually, there were 10 people in that prayer line. All 9 of them. The Lord had said, tell people, anybody that has any kind of problems from their waist down, from the back, from the waist down. And he told all 10 of them to run. 9 of them ran, they got healed. The last lady, who wasn't nearly as in much, her problem wasn't nearly as serious as the other ones. And the Lord told her to run. She goes, I can't run. He said, well, you saw these other people. But she just absolutely refused to do it. She did nothing. And you know what she got? Nothing. Hallelujah. True story. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I would just praise God for these words true right now. Amen. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. 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 Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. 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 Hallelujah. One man says, you know, get ready. I'm gonna say, be blessed. Now listen, in order for you to be blessed, some physical need might be met. For somebody else to be blessed, some financial need might need to be met. For somebody else, some mental, emotional need might to be met. For somebody else, some marital need might to be met. But when I say be blessed, the Spirit of God is going to come on you, and I want you to immediately go lift your hands and begin to praise God that your need is met. Hallelujah, in order for you to be blessed. Are you ready? Are you ready? 1, 2, 3. Get ready. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, be blessed. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God, we rejoice and thank you that I am blessed. Hallelujah. Ha ha ha. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. Praise you. Praise you. Praise you. Ha 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 ha. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Hallelujah. For Yuda Satalava Manas Satalava Manoto. And dalava bakarun sodolava bakarun dalava bakurandere and deleva bakarediki. Ha ha, ha 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 ha. It gives me great pleasure, saith the Lord, to help my people and to be able to move in and work and operate for them. I is my desire to bless you and help you. That's why I have forgiven you for my own sake, so that I can bless you and help you and do for you what you cannot do for yourselves. But you must open the door for me and allow me to move in. So take those steps of faith. Do what you know to do. Follow my word. Do what it says to do. Act like it's so. Just simply act like I told the truth and acted on it in faith, and then I will move in with my anointing and my power and my grace and my ability and my strength and my power, and I will cause you to win every battle, and I will provide for you that which you need so that you may go out and be blessed and be a blessing to everyone you come in contact with me. So yes, even as I told Joshua, arise and step out in faith and watch what I will do for you, says the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yes, amen. Say, I receive it. In Jesus' name. Glory to God. Amen. Amen, 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 amen. If you're saved and you know it, lift your hands. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Well, go out and just look for ways to act in faith. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. We love you. You're dismissed. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus.